Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Solid Ground once again, and all this week we are looking at the subject of the Holy Spirit. On yesterday's program, as well as today, I thought I would handle the most difficult one or most controversial one, and that's the discussion on the gift of tongues. Yesterday, we looked at the subject of its purpose, which is for prayer and praise and giving of thanks and how that should be used in our personal life, and then also some of the restrictions that are placed on it in the way it should be used within the service. Today, I'd like to look at the subject of, will all believers speak with tongues? Is that a gift that every believer should have? Now, unfortunately, within the church, there's a lot of different viewpoints on this subject. There are some extreme Pentecostal churches that teach that unless you speak in tongues, you're not even a Christian. That's the evidence that you are a true believer. You will not find that anywhere in Scripture. Well, actually, the evidence of someone being born again is, first of all, have they embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Second of all, is there the evidence in their lives focusing on love, not speaking in tongues? And so that is not even a doctrine that is even close to the teaching of Scripture. But there's also some other churches that would teach today that all believers should have the gift of tongues. And I want to examine that subject, as I believe the Scriptures are very clear as to the answer to that question. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 11, in speaking of the Holy Spirit giving out the gifts into the body of Christ, Paul says this, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually," and this is a key phrase, "as he wills." So as Paul has just listed the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says now the Spirit of God is the one that distributes the gifts in the church as he wills. And we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is not merely a force. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. So what we're looking at is God, the sovereign Holy Spirit, is the one that distributes the gifts as he desires. So that means the focus is on the plan and will and purpose of God the Holy Spirit within the church. If he wants to give out that gift to different individuals, he will do that. So it's not just a matter of me being open or me being spiritual enough. It's a matter of God's will. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes any of the gifts. So for a person to receive any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gift of tongues, it is determined by the Holy Spirit himself. Then, in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it seems to be just the most obvious statement that not every believer will receive the gift of tongues. Paul is going to describe the different gifts that are available, or some of the different gifts that are available within the church. And in verse 28, he says this, "And God has appointed these in the church first, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Then he asks a series of questions. Are all apostles? And the obvious answer to that is no, not all are apostles. Now, the way in which the Greek grammar is set up is that within its writing, within the way a sentence is phrased, the expected answer to this question is no. Now, we don't really have that in the English language. We use it more in the tone of a person's voice and way they communicate the question. They're either expecting a yes answer or a no answer, or the context determines that. But it's clear that when Paul asks a question, even in the English, are all apostles, the obvious answer is no. Then he goes on to say, are all prophets? And we'd say no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Yes. See, it doesn't make sense to put a yes there, where he asks the same question in a series of answers that are expecting a no answer to say yes, that all will speak with tongues. Then he says, do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no. And so to come to the Scripture, it's very clear that Paul directly states that not everyone is going to speak with the gift of tongues. Not everyone is going to receive the gift of tongues. Now, what some of the Pentecostal churches have done, have said, well, there's a difference between the gift of tongues in your private devotional life and the gift of tongues that is used within the church service. Now, my response to that is, show me a passage that teaches that. You'll find nowhere in the Bible where Paul makes a distinction between the gift of tongues that is used within the service, as well as the gift of tongues that is used within a person's private devotional life. Actually, if you read through 1 Corinthians 14, it's very clear that what Paul is saying is, hey, you're using the gift of tongues that you have, but you're using it wrongfully within the church. Don't all gather together and speak out at once. That's not the right way to do it. If there's going to be this gift used within the church, let it be by two or three at the most, and let someone interpret. And there's no interpreter. What Paul says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28, says, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So he says, keep that to yourself and keep it in your speaking so that no one else around you will hear, but you speak to God. He doesn't say you need the other gift that needs to be interpreted, the other kind of gift of tongues. He makes it one and the same here. So it's clear that there is no distinction between the gift of tongues that is used within the church service that needs to be interpreted and the gift of tongues that someone would use in their own private devotional time. That's just a way to try and get around this obvious statement in Scripture that not all will speak with tongues. And so once again, going back to the Scripture, it settles the issue, and I think it settles it very clearly, as one would just simply allow the Bible to speak on the subject. Now, I surely do not want you to think at all over these last couple of days that I do not see that the gift of tongues has value. I see it has an extreme value, but when it's used properly according to what the Scriptures say. I want to read through about five Scriptures that Paul says about the gift of tongues to show you its proper place as well as the value that this gift truly does have. And in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So he doesn't say desire all the gifts except the gift of tongues. He's talking about all of them. And I think that is more of the biblical model, that we should desire all the gifts or everything that God wants to work through us. And then, according to 1 Corinthians 12:11, let the Holy Spirit decide which gifts those are going to be. So I do believe it's an imbalance to say, well, I want all the gifts except for the gift of tongues. That is not according to Scripture. He simply says desire spiritual gifts. And that's where our heart needs to be. Then in 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul says this, I wish you all spoke with tongues. And so he desired everyone to speak in tongues. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to. Paul could make the statement because he saw the benefit of it. He saw the benefit of it in his own life when he would pray to God and worship God outside of the church, and he would be edified and he would be built up. And so he says, I want all of you to be able to experience that. Not that all are going to, but see, there's a benefit to it. So he could say, I wish that you would all speak with tongues. Then also in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, he says this. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul obviously used this gift quite often in his own personal life, because he follows that up in verse 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul obviously in his own time with the Lord when he was traveling about used the gift of tongues quite frequently, to praise, to give God thanks, to worship him, to intercede. Yet in the church, it had its limited use. And so Paul saying, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So evidently he used this gift quite often, even saying more than all of the others within the church. Paul used this gift quite frequently. So it is a gift of value. It is a gift that is going to bring blessing to the individual. Then also in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, Paul says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So it is unscriptural for someone to come and say, well, the gift of tongues isn't for today, or we forbid its use. I think we could forbid the abuses that comes with this gift, but here Paul says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Now, if it's in the church, it should be used one at a time, and then someone interpret it, two or three at the most. And so outside of that, it's not to be used within the church. But in their own personal, private devotional life, obviously Paul was one that used it quite often, and that gift should not be limited or restricted or be forbidden within its use. Now, I mentioned it several times, but I want to read the Scripture, that Paul does say that tongues has a value in the church. The value isn't for everyone to come together and speak with tongues all at once, where he says in verse 23 of chapter 14, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? So Paul says, don't gather together and have everyone speak with tongues at the same time. Jumps down to verse 27. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be Let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So now he's going to put some restrictions on this gift, because the gifts are to be used to edify the body of Christ. And the only way for the entire body to be edified through the gift of tongues is that if there's only two or three at a service, and then it's interpreted. Because when someone speaks in tongues, no one else understands what that person is saying unless it's interpreted. Then when it's interpreted in the language that everyone understands, then they could be built up and edified and blessed. Otherwise, there is no value for that gift for the entire body of Christ. That's why Paul says, don't all speak with tongues at the same time. Now, my final exhortation would relate to those that are fearful of this gift. First of all, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, untaught. So you need to go to the scriptures and you need to read, especially through 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, as well as the places it is seen in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 10 and 11, and see the value that this gift brings. Not to be uninformed. Then Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, and that should always be our focus, and desire spiritual gifts. I'd exhort you to desire all that God wants to do through and in you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not saying, I only want, well, this gift, I only want the word of knowledge, or the, I only want to be used by prophecy or by healing, but the other ones you don't. No, the Bible says desire spiritual gifts, and we should strongly be desiring to be used by God in the supernatural. I believe that it seems to be the gateway in being open to God using us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit by us desiring that and then just leaving it up to the Holy Spirit, the sovereign God, the third person of the Trinity, to distribute these gifts as he desires. And he'll impart to your life what he knows what you need, as well as in relation to God's will for your life. There's good works that God's prepared beforehand that you should walk in, and the Holy Spirit's going to distribute those gifts to help you accomplish the perfect will of God.